Hi, I'm Harriet Thomas, and this is There's a Walk for That. A few years ago, I went looking for adventure. What I actually found was the end of years of back pain, a body that finally fit my clothes again, and something I never expected, a personal wellness sanctuary right outside my door. I'm not a doctor or a fitness expert, just someone who discovered a daily habit that revitalized my health, my emotions, and even my sense of purpose. From easing stress to shrinking your waistline, there really is a walk for that. Join me as I explore the power of walking with inspiring guests and offer tips to help you make walking a fun, transformative part of your day. And you'll get to enjoy our trail mix, three songs chosen by my guest that reflect their attitude to life and passion for walking. On today's show, I'm talking with Sue Mott. She's the CEO of Stepping Out with Carers, a non-profit that gives unpaid carers and the people they care for something simple but transformative, regular walks in nature. And like all the best walks, our conversation meanders. We talk about how Sue fought her way into a career in sports journalism back when women were mostly expected to be the secretaries. We talk about the politics of living in a world where nature is treated as expendable and about the chance invitation that led Sue to create Stepping Out with Carers. But before we get there, let's start right at the beginning with Sue as a child discovering for herself the magic of walking in nature.
I think I've always been a walker by nature because I was an only child. And so sometimes you have to make your own entertainment. And in the 60s, it wasn't quite as lavish in terms of eye-popping things to do and see. And your parents kind of left you to your own devices. So once I'd taken a go-kart up and down the road and gone to the shops, what I used to like to do was take myself off. I'd just see if there was a little footpath going somewhere or a stile. I had to go over it. Wherever there was just a little meandering field, you thought, well, I wonder what happens if I go through there, and I'd walk through a park. And I'd literally walk miles. So I think it was just in me somehow, and it always made you happy. Santana, Samba Pati. It's like you're on a beach and all you can hear is the waves coming in. Very soft and beautiful.
Sue Mott sharing why she chose the first of today's Trail Mix songs. So let's meet Sue and hear how her lifelong love of walking grew into the work she now leads with Carers.
Hi Sue, welcome to There's a Walk for That.
And there is a walk for that. I quite agree with you.
Can you start by telling us a little bit about yourself? And also if you can tell us a little bit about the Stepping Out with Carers and the work that it does.
Well, because I'm a journalist by trade, I really loathe talking about myself. Our job was always to intrusively, you know, investigate other people. But I do, to my shame, have to admit that for 40 years I've been a journalist. But luckily, it was in what we used to call the toy department, which was sports journalism. And it was fascinating because it started off in the 80s when women weren't involved in sport, really, in any capacity. You might be a secretary. Goodness, we were just treated with casual sexism for our entire young existence. You took it for granted, and therefore it became a real challenge to acknowledge that I wanted to be a sports writer at a time when people, apart from a wonderful writer for The Observer called Julie Welch, who was already doing it. So she led the way, and then I was tottering up behind, trying to break into, I suppose, a national newspaper was the venue. No, it was funny. I mean, there were lots of people who kind of weren't intimidated and would help or offer you a chance. And there were lots of people who, you know, were so horrified, you were banned from their sports room.
It's fair to say that you are a determined person.
It is. I mean, this is the only quality I would announce for myself. It's the fact I am horribly persistent. So from the ages of 20 to 30, I just persisted in trying to do it. And it involved going to America for 4 years, where women were much more well received in sports rooms and even locker rooms in those days. I mean, you had access to the male locker rooms before and after matches, which blew me away slightly. All these naked men wandering around the New York Mets baseball ground.
Well, that's a nice perk.
Yes, you see, there were some good things about it, as well as the struggle.
Sue's second song choice, let's just say it's as determined and iconoclastic as she is.
The Sex Pistols, because, you know, you can't keep a good woman down.
Does anarchy in the UK remind you of your journalism days?
It reminds me of my life. I am definitely someone who always thinks, oh, I think I could just get around this. Right now.
Because I wanna be, yeah. That makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Kiss me quick. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas. Today, my guest is Sue Mott, CEO of Stepping Out with Carers, a non-profit that uses the healing power of walking in nature to bring health, happiness and connection to unpaid carers and the people that they care for. Before the break, we heard about Sue's early battles breaking into the male-dominated world of sports journalism while carrying with her a lifelong love of walking in nature. And now we follow that thread to see how those twists and turns along the path led her to becoming the CEO of Stepping Out with Carers.
And when finally I was old enough to be all the players' grandmas, it kind of naturally subsides. You dwindle decorously. It was a complete and total fluke, an accident way beyond my ken, really, of how we came to set up Stepping Out with Carers. It wasn't the thing I was planning to do next. I can't think of anybody less adequate to run a charity than I would have been then. But somebody said to me, just a random phone conversation, someone said, oh, by the way, do you know someone who could lead a walk for carers in Kent, you know, in Deal, not far from where I lived? I said, oh, yes, I could do it with a couple of mates. And so we made a coffee cake and started at one pub, finished at another pub, took a dog, met 14 carers who were bussed in, and they told us things about their life and their challenges and their attitude, their can-do attitude and their traumas in the space of this, I would say, about 2.5 mile walk along the coast. And we thought, my God, I didn't know any of this existed. It's an underworld that we never see. because, as you know, carers are so, well, they're so invisible to us because they're working so hard, and probably a lot of them in the home.
I think it's really interesting what you say about the invisibility of carers.
Yeah.
It's something that another of my guests, Pauline, who's a carer for her son who has complex special needs, but she said during her chat, I know when I'm in, she lives in Hayling Island and is often in Portsmouth, and she said, I know there are hundreds of disabled children and adults in this area. Where are they?
Yes, that's what we always think.
And if you haven't already, you can catch my conversation with Pauline Nixon on the UK Health Radio website. It's a show for anyone who's ever felt weighed down by the endless responsibilities of everyday life. Pauline talks about how walking in nature gives her these small moments of freedom, of wonder, moments that make it possible to return to her family and work with a clearer head and a lighter heart.
It's a hidden, as you say, a hidden underworld.
Yeah.
That the rest of us who may not be involved in caring or simply are not aware of.
Yes, or unless someone in your family suddenly is plunged into caring or needing care themselves. And the irony is that's about a third of us, probably a half of us in the whole population will eventually have this connection with caring, but know nothing about it in the meantime.
I looked up some stats before we got on our call, and this is from the 2021 census, so probably a little bit out of date, which reported currently 5.8 million unpaid carers in the UK. So that's more than 8% of our population. So it's a significant...
Massive.
Minority. And when you think of... Okay, that's the carers, and then there's the people they care for.
Yeah.
You're talking something like 12 million people.
Yes, and those, actually, Harriet, are just the ones who identify themselves as carers. There are others who are just thinking, I'm a husband, I'm a wife, I'm a mother.
Yes.
And here's this person in need. So they would not, in a form, identify themselves.
Yes, exactly.
So imagine how many are there, too.
You really need organisations and charities like yourself to recognise the need.
And well, they told us. This is what happened next. Because at first, the carer support organisation who initially talked to us said, it's just carers. They can't bring the person they care for. Because for an organisation like that, it's too difficult to grapple with the needs of the person who is being cared for. And they did say to us, oh, could I possibly bring my husband next time? And I said, yes, of course. And so we said, yes, you know, whatever the disability was, mental health, physical health, we had volunteers, we'd manage. And from then on, all our walks became either come on your own if you want to or bring the person you care for. That was very important. And then the next thing the carers needed was they didn't want to have to think about, oh, what can we do for lunch? I've got to take medication. I don't want to rush home. I don't want to be cutting sandwiches as we leave this morning. So we included lunch in it, which we always do now without fail. And then the other thing was I can't come to that one because it means taking two buses and the buses don't always stop for people in wheelchairs. And I can't afford a taxi. So then we said, all right, we would organise transport for people who couldn't otherwise attend. And that was the game changer. If you're going to leave your front door and get into a transport which is waiting for you, imagine how much more possible it is to come out with friends somewhere beautiful.
I love the way at each stage you're responding to what the carers need. In order for them to enjoy what to many people would seem like a very simple activity, which is simply having a walk with other people in a nice place.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's small. I mean, because I think it's something to do with size and the fact we are within our community. So many of carers who, for one reason or another, are no longer caring, perhaps bereavement, perhaps a happier reason, they are now our volunteers. So there's all that weight of knowledge coming within the organisation, and we all know them already. And when you've got a community looking after itself, that's really what we are.
That's beautiful. A community looking after itself.
And that leads us nicely into Sue's third trail mix choice, which is
the Hallelujah Chorus, because it's a banger. And with all those different parts coming in and out all the time, it sums up something I'm very partial to, which is teamwork.
Academy of St. Martin in the Fields Chorus, conducted by Sir Neville Mariner, performing the Hallelujah Chorus from Handel's Messiah. I'm Harriet Thomas, and this is There's a Walk for That on UK Health Radio. And today I'm talking with Sue Mott, CEO of Stepping Out with Carers. It's a project that takes unpaid carers and the people they look after out for walks in nature. And if you're wondering what difference a simple walk can make, just listen to what the carers themselves say.
In general, what kind of feedback do you get from the carers and their loved ones who come on the walks?
Well, they're just They don't need to be, because we're very happy to see them, but they're really, really grateful to have somewhere to go that doesn't put any pressure on them, that's nice to look at, is entertaining, grants them wonderful friendships, because, you know, you see them year after year after year. And they get that wonderful health boost, mentally and physically, from having a good walk.
Yeah.
So just amazingly, amazingly positive. And I did ask a lovely lady called Wilhelmina at the end, who lives on her own, and came out with the help of a volunteer, enjoyed the short walk. And I said to her at the end, did you have a nice time? She said, I have had the time of my life. She said, I feel 20 again. And that's just what one walk and a bit of sociability can do.
That's incredible, isn't it? I mean, yeah. It literally is life-changing. It's the difference between loneliness or pressure and overwhelm, and just having those moments of magic and connection and joy.
Yes.
And that lifts you.
It really does.
Through the next part of your week or your day. Or.
And then I think it's important that they always know they've got another one coming.
Yeah.
So we're at least once a month. And where we can, we do two per month, especially during the summer. So there's always something to look forward to.
That's a huge injection of hope, isn't it? And,
yes.
And positivity. What do you think, you know, because I always like to ask my guests, why walk?
Yeah.
Because it seems obvious to someone who loves walking, but to someone who maybe doesn't walk every day, they might think, what's the big deal? What happens when you walk?
I would say once you've set foot outside your front door, it's the beginning of an adventure and a balm, you know, a deep sense of peace, I think, gradually descends on you, one foot in front of the other. All this different scenery, all these feelings underfoot going on. And you never know what's around the next corner, so there's a mystery to it. And there can be purpose. You can be going to the shops or something, so that's gratifying. But when there is no purpose except to listen to the birds and just look at a tree and wonder about it for a minute. This is stuff, frankly, if someone had said to me when I was 30, I'd have thought it was hippie guff. But I do seriously believe now that nature is talking back to us, should we care to listen. It's a wonder drug. I remember when we were coming out of COVID, and I used to go for a little totter round up to a local wood, and I adopted a tree, and I used to go and just lean up against it for a while, and it was the most replenishing feeling. You were back out there sharing our moment together, me and the tree, and it's always felt like a companion. I will definitely go back there one day. I don't live there anymore, and lean against it again if it hasn't been chopped down for firewood, and it will be a wonderful experience.
So I've come out for my daily walk, and inspired by Sue, I'm looking for a tree. And as soon as I've come in the park, I've seen a squirrel leaping from the floor into a beautiful oak tree that is covered in acorns. So maybe I've found my tree. Maybe this is my tree. I like that idea of having a tree as a friend, like a place you can go and lean against it and feel its power. And right now I'm walking along a path, just looking up into the canopy of oak trees. So beautiful, the way the dark branches sort of twist and make these wonderful shapes, and the leaves are just beginning to turn, looking yellow and brown against the blue sky here in the middle of urban London. So you really can find your tree pretty much anywhere, I think. I'd love to hear from anyone who has a favourite tree. I'd be really interested to know if like Sue, you befriended a tree over lockdown or at any point in your life. as a place where you can go for comfort and safety and nurture. When things feel difficult or they're going a bit crazy or you're caught up in deadlines or just the busyness of life, it's great to come out to this place of stillness and yet such life within these amazing branches, a whole ecosystems. They're the ultimate antidote to scrolling on Instagram. This is about things that last. One of the things I really, really enjoy about walking through an area of trees on a sunny day are the shadows. And today there's no wind, so the shadows are still, just intricate patterns on the path. But when there's a bit more wind, the shadows scintillate and they start to look like rippling water. It's really so beautiful. And it's something a lot of my guests have talked about, this feeling of peace, completeness, contentment. What fantastic emotions to be able to experience simply.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimising your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance and more. Benefit from the power, purity and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Actually, I think now many people are reacting from the extreme technology of our age.
Yes.
By looking again at nature and seeing that it's providing us something that is very slow, often. It's non-judgmental.
Yes.
It's more miraculous than any game you could play on a screen, isn't it? When you actually sit and look at a tree, for example, and all the little leaves and all the little branches and the texture of the bark and the insects there and the but it's there's so much detail. It's difficult to really take it all in and to think, wow, how is this even existing? It's yeah. Incredible. The abundance of nature, it is so incredible.
But the thing is, of course, this beautiful nature has never been more underestimated by so many people who are running the world. It seems like nature is expendable to them.
Well, that's another question, isn't it?
It is. So, you know, I think we have to treasure it while we can, and maybe we won't be the only ones doing it eventually. We'll come to reckon its worth.
Yes, I mean, I think, you know, I think that the difficulty about that is that nature has always been seen as a resource.
Yes.
Basically a way to make money, as human beings are seen as a resource as well by big business. At the moment, big business makes a lot of money out of treating nature like that and is quite happy to deplete an area and then move on to another area, which is why they're going into space to try and see what minerals are there. Let's deplete space now. It's a state of mind that doesn't recognize the fact that we breathe the air, we drink the water, and we eat food that comes from the earth.
Mm.
We literally cannot exist without the earth.
Well, no, I suppose I shouldn't say nature is under threat. We're under threat within nature because she will ultimately get her own back, won't she?
And that is the very heartening thought, is that nature, and there's many places where, it, you know, for example, Chernobyl, you know, where areas like that where no humans have been, nature regenerates herself in this quite incredible way. And so, yes, the planet will go on until, of course, it's burnt up by the sun. But in the meantime, you know, the cost in terms of human lives and human despair and poverty and migration and mass migration and it is going to be huge, you know.
It is. And I suppose that's why when we go out for our walks, all those huge transcendental problems and all the daily problems of carers, you know, trying to get a hospital appointment and goodness, the number of things they have to go through just to get through a morning, it goes out the window. And so you meet up with friends, you go for, we always do two walks at every venue so that you can have a long yomp and a good moan if you want to. Or if you, especially if you've got mobility issues, you have a lovely, flat, easy one, but somewhere really nice. And then all come back together at the end. And at our last walk in Kent, it's a lovely place called Moat Park. We had, over lunch, we had a magician and a fabulous singer. So we try and throw in bits of entertainment.
What would you say to the idea that GPs or the NHS should be looking at ways to incorporate more of that in their prescribing? So social prescribing.
It's funny you should say that because I was in my GP surgery the other day and I picked up a leaflet that looked lovely. It said social prescribing, and there was a QR code to go to a website. So I went to the website full of hope and I clicked on my GP surgery's name and it referred me back to the GP's surgery where I had just been standing and said, ask about social prescribing in the surgery. Well, so in other words, it sends you around in a circle, but doesn't give you any information or any lovely pictures or have any suggestions. So I don't know that they're even doing it, quite honestly. I think they're saying they are, but I don't know that it exists. I do find that carers initially, supposing you're looking after someone with fairly advanced dementia, you might feel a bit awkward about going into a very social situation. So we find that by going, say, to the dementia awareness group or a group of people already in that area working with people with dementia and inviting them along personally and perhaps some friends of theirs who are already coming, bringing them along, is a good way to introduce people. Because it's a much smoother introduction. They know they're going to be safe. They know we understand. There's nothing to worry about. And that might be the answer. Go to where they are. Don't expect the doctor's surgery, which is so busy and crazy. And a lot of doctors are not seeing their patients anyway. So who's going to tell these people about social prescribing?
Right. And it's interesting because I feel like you know, you've got this massive health system which has a very medicalized approach to health and well-being, even to preventative health, which is not, in many ways, not really working, or certainly isn't dovetailing with the community, because, as you say, it's so difficult to see doctors and so on. And on the other hand, you've got small organizations like yours that are actually doing simple but incredibly meaningful activities like walking and having lunch together, that, as you said, meet social requirements, emotional requirements, spiritual requirements, and health requirements. So really are holistic. They really meet the needs of the whole person. And I feel like that is the kind of healthcare that somehow we need to promote.
I agree. I think, and if you notice, the NHS have now changed tack and they say they want to emphasize prevention rather than, you know, just medicating once you're ill. They want to emphasize a locality, community, over these great big hospitals somewhere else. And that's two out of three things. The other one is digitalization. But two out of those three are absolutely what we're doing. But this, what really needs to be done is people just to be aware that this is possible. So that's really why I'm so glad we exist. It can work. We have run it in four different places in the country, in four different ways. It's allowed to be itself where it's landed. I would just love to get the word out that this is possible in your community.
And so if there is anyone who is listening, and the UK Health Radio platform is international, so they could be all over
anywhere.
Anywhere. What would you say are the things that you really need to think about if you want to start a group like this?
Okay. I would say start small. You need someone who is, see my earlier part of the conversation, horribly persistent. And then you need a small group around you of volunteers, probably someone who can do a bit of communicating, maybe good online, Facebook, whatnot, and then just arrange somehow to find, probably go to your local carers support organisation, there's one in every county, and say, we're doing a walk here, we'd like to invite your carers, where would you like it to be, what would you like us to do? And you could just do your first one and see what comes from that.
I love it. I love it. So basically, it's all about creating that team. Like, don't try and do it all on your own, because it's too much.
Too much.
Create your team. Link up with other organisations where you're going to find, as it were, the people that you'd like to invite.
Yes.
And then be open to what they need. And that's lovely.
And you'll find that there are quite a lot of organisations that, you know, if you wanted a little bit of funding for your first outing, if you applied to somewhere like a retail outlet, I know Waitrose are doing a couple of walks for us in Hertfordshire. You know, there would be somebody who would be able to give you a little bit of funding to kick you off, because ideally you'll pay for their lunch. I mean, we pay for everything. All our walks are completely free, including transport. Now, that's probably too big an ask for somebody just starting out. But you might get a little bit of seed funding from somewhere, which means you can offer somebody not just a walk you've thought about that is nice, but here you are, your carers in our community. What an amazing job you're doing. Please let us support and celebrate you and give you a piece of cake and a cup of tea as our thanks to you. That's the message.
Yeah, that's gorgeous. That's gorgeous. And how can people get in touch with you or with the charity?
Oh, they're more than welcome to. You can get us online. Our website is carersstepping out.co.uk, and an email to hello, with an A, hello, stepping out, @gmail.com will find me.
Fantastic. That's great. I'll put all those details in the show notes.
Oh, well, lovely. Thank you.
Can easily reach them. And just as a final question, we've been talking very much about carers and the people they care for and how important it is for them to have this kind of opportunity, the hope it gives. It's really probably difficult to quantify the difference it makes to someone's life to be able to do something like go out in nature with people and have a lovely lunch and know that you're being cared for and, as you say, championed. But what about other people? So other people who maybe aren't carers, but they're just people who are living the busy life, that crazy life where you just don't have time to barely do anything, you know, except maybe flop in front of the TV, you know, at 9 o'clock at night and breathe a sigh of relief. For those people who also feel stress and overwhelm and what would you say to them? What do you think walking might provide someone like that? You know, what does walking give us? And maybe how do you take the first step as well? Because that can always be so difficult.
Well, that's our motto. Every adventure begins with the first step. It's the hardest part, isn't it? Deciding you're going to shut the front door behind you and go out for a walk. I think what I would say to them is you don't have to do a long walk, but it will reset you. And the lovely thing is, guess what? You don't even have to take your phone with you. If you're going to do a 10-minute walk, give yourself a sense of freedom. And you will find, as you come back through the door, you're stronger and wiser and comforted.
I love that idea of phone stays there, shoes come on, out I go, it's 10 or 15 minutes, that's it, that's my reset.
Yeah.
That's so doable.
It is doable, it's absolutely doable. And they do say if you make it really brisk, that will be meaningful for your health as well.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Sue. It's been so lovely speaking to you.
And you. It's been a lot of fun.
That's it for this week. Next time on There's a Walk for That, wellness coach Lillian Larty joins me to share how walking and breathing turned burnout into balance. And she'll guide us through one of her trademark pause and breathe sessions. For now, switch off, step outside for a 15-minute reset walk, and maybe find a tree that feels like it's yours.